You're listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Let's do some news, shall we?
Yeah, okay. I'm in.
How was your weekend? Was it nice and fall-like?
It was. We went to a pumpkin patch and yeah, it was cool. And Winter found this little white pumpkin that had no stem on it, and she fell in love with it, and it became her baby. And she called it a baby pumpkin, and she even slept with it.
Was it an actual pumpkin?
It's an actual pumpkin.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, that's, you don't need toys.
Apparently not.
You just need vegetables. Here, honey, I got you a green bean. His name is Stanley.
She had an argument with it about if she should take it out of the pumpkin patch or not. This is a two-year-old I'm talking about.
Reasoning it out, huh?
Yeah.
Like, is this wrong?
Because it's not its home.
Right, right. Yeah. It's not its home.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That kid spent a lot of time at home. She really values home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have siblings, so she has nobody else to argue with.
Well, now she has a pumpkin.
So she argues with herself. Sometimes she argues with her hands. Like,
really?
Don't touch my food. No, you don't touch my food. No, you don't touch my food. Like, it's just her hands going back and forth.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally normal.
I got a
perfectly
weirdo.
Fine.
I got a,
totally
yep.
normal.
Don't know where she gets that from.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know where she gets it from either.
Yeah.
She know anything about the news?
I do. I can tell you about it.
All right,
coming
cool.
up in the news. What does happen if an alligator breathes helium? And we need a better word than interesting, but really that's all I got right now. Maybe you can help. News brought to you by Huffman and Huffman. Big insurance companies make billions. Then why don't they like paying your claim when you get hurt? Call Huffman and Huffman. They'll get you the cash that you deserve. Topping the news this morning, we lost Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She lost her battle with pancreatic cancer on Friday. She was 87 years old. During her life, she was a fierce advocate for gender equality and women's rights. She was appointed in 1993 by President Bill Clinton, and in recent years served as the most senior member of the court's liberal wing, consistently delivering progressive votes on the most divisive social issues. She showed what a badass she was by fighting off cancer 5 times. She also endured several falls, a heart procedure, and other health issues as she got older. Through it all, she rarely missed a workout. She was known for that. So some people called for Ruth to retire during Barack Obama's presidency when Democrats had control of the Senate so that they could have easily installed another liberal in her place. She resisted and only became actually more of a legend since then.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all of this, I think things are about to get... The word interesting is all I got on this. There's got to be a better word.
Yeah.
Her death less than 7 weeks before Election Day opens up a political fight over the future of the court. Quote, my most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed. She dictated that to her granddaughter days before passing.
Right.
But just hours after her death, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Friday evening, President Trump's nominee will receive a vote on the floor of the United States Senate. Now, you may remember during Obama's last year in office when Justice Antonin Scalia died, Obama had nominated Merrick Garland. This was 237 days before the election.
Yep.
And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell refused the vote.
The American people should have a say.
That was Mitch at the time. He and other Republicans claimed that it would be wrong to vote so close to the election, saying the people should decide our next president first, and then that guy should get the pick. Well, we're even closer to the election than we were in 2016, but McConnell has done a complete 180, and he believes it's different this time around. The report says he believes it's different because the presidency and Senate are both controlled by the same party this time. I don't think that's his excuse. I think he's just like, look, if Democrats controlled both, they would do this, too. So Senator Lindsey Graham said,
if an opening comes in the last year of President Trump's term and the primary process is started, we'll wait to the next election.
Now, that was him in 2018. He said that if he ever went back on that promise, we could use his words against him. But guess where he stands on the issue now? He also says things are different this time around.
I'm trying to see how many senators they would need.
Well, four would have to oppose, and so far, two Republican senators have said publicly that they oppose taking up a nomination before the election.
That. Yeah, I saw
so
that.
They need two more.
You know, it's interesting though because now President Trump has appointed two justices. Isn't that correct?
I think so.
Yeah, and neither of them has consistently voted along what they would have been considered conservative lines. in some of the different things that have come up. There was some surprising votes in the last go-round. So you never know what these people are going to be like once they get the job, because it's an appointment for life and you cannot be removed.
Right.
And except for an act of Congress. You can be like impeached,
sure,
or a version of it. That's about it. Mike, what'd you find? Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Hello? Oh, okay. There we go. He has appointed two Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh.
And Kavanaugh, right. All right.
Yeah, well, cool. He says he does have a short list of candidates to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I have a short list. We have about 45 altogether. I think it's probably, from a legal standpoint, from a sophisticated understanding of the law, from a constitutional standpoint, I think it's the greatest list ever assembled. I could see most likely it would be a woman. Yeah, I think I can say that. It would be a woman. A woman would be in first place. Yes. The choice of a woman, I would say, would certainly be appropriate.
Yeah, and his opponent Biden said,
and speaking to those Republicans out there, Senate Republicans, who know deep down what is right for the country and consistent with the Constitution, the handful who really will decide what happens, please follow your conscience. Don't vote to confirm anyone nominated under the circumstances President Trump and Senator McConnell have created. Don't go there. Uphold your constitutional duty, your conscience. The last thing we need is to add a constitutional crisis that plunges us deeper into the abyss, deeper into the darkness.
So in the meantime, they are...
Let me just jump in here.
Yes, please.
This is not a crisis that they created, Joe. Someone passed away. That's not a thing that gets created by anyone. Just FYI.
And they are honoring the notorious RBG by draping her seat in black, and flags have been flying at half staff. Now, elsewhere,
yes,
TikTok is saved. For now, the Chinese firm ByteDance confirmed that they reached an agreement with Oracle and Walmart to keep the operations of the TikTok app in the United States, but they still require the approval of the two governments.
Uh-huh.
President Trump said,
but we'll see whether or not it all happens. But conceptually, I think it's a great deal for America. They'll be hiring at least 25,000 people.
The new company is going to be called TikTok Global. It's going to be headquartered in Texas. It will employ 25,000 people. ByteDance will hold most of the shares. Oracle will have 12.5%. Walmart will have 7.5%. TikTok's Vanessa Pappas sent a message to users.
Thank you to each and every one of you for sticking by us and finding a true community on this app. That's why we're thrilled to share that we are working with a U.S. tech partner to ensure that TikTok can continue to provide a home to each and every one of you, just as it does today, with no change to our users here in the U.S. or around the world. We are TikTok. We are on this journey together, and we are just getting started. Thank you.
And then the video played 17 times in a row.
Yeah, right.
Same sentence, 17 times.
Now, elsewhere, the big awards were given out. No, not the Emmys. We'll get to them in a second. But I'm talking about the Ig Nobel Prize Awards.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not familiar, those are the awards given out to the most ridiculous advances in science and other academic fields each year. Mm-hmm. Some of the winners this year include a team of archaeologists who studied whether knives made out of frozen human poop would be effective weapons.
I remember the story.
Yeah. They weren't, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
They were not.
It was some Inuit legend that the guy needed a knife, and so he takes a dump, and then the dump freezes, and he's able to hone it into a knife and use it. And so somebody finally did it, and it was a disaster, a messy, nasty disaster.
Scientists who gave an alligator helium to see how it would affect the alligator's voice compared to how it affects human voices, that won an award.
Our subject was a Chinese alligator. We recorded her inhaling normal air and heliox, a helium-oxygen mixture. And here we go. Here's one call in air and one call in heliox. They sound different, and this is evidence that also non-avian reptiles have resonances in their vocalizations.
Yep, so...
Okay, did we expect something different?
I don't know.
I've always been told that because it's a different gas, when it passes over your vocal cords, it makes a different sound.
I guess they had a theory. They set out to prove it, and there you go.
Okay.
Research that found people who study insects are usually afraid of spiders.
All right. Now, to me, that is genius. But I could have gone. I could have done it without a study. People throw themselves into these fields because they're directly affected many times.
You know? That makes sense. Yeah. An economic study that tried to connect a country's wealth inequality with its average amount of mouth-to-mouth kissing.
Okay, see, this one is like, okay, wow, that is out there. What is the possible route that brings you to this study?
You know?
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
like, how do you get there? First of all, I guess I don't know enough about the rest of the world. How many cultures don't have mouth-to-mouth kissing?
Yeah, true.
Is that a thing?
Well, France has it.
Must be.
I know that.
Right? Yes, they do. Hello. They have the best can, do they not?
And there was a psychology study that tried to figure out a way to tell if someone's a narcissist by examining their eyebrows. If they're on fleek,
are they
I'm
just
guessing.
Too good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they too
maybe,
good?
Maybe. Because
you know, my age, it's the only hair on my body that grows anymore. Nose and eyebrows.
Narcissist, clearly.
Yeah, clearly I got problems.
That does bring us to the Emmys, though. The host, Jimmy Kimmel, called them the Pandemmies and wondered aloud if they should even be happening at a time like this. He hosted in an empty arena. He did initially try to fool us with crowd reactions from past ceremonies, but then he revealed that he was alone except for Jason Bateman. Once it got the show rolling, there were some clever moments, humorous bits, as this article says, some moving speeches, all the more so because family members of the loved ones were sitting right there with the nominees, cheering and crying. They were accepting the awards from their own home, like over Zoom or video or whatever. The report says the Emmys went viral last night. And the show that swept the comedy categories.
Yes.
How do I say it? I mean, they've been saying it on TV all morning. They have been saying the word. I believed it here, though.
For outstanding directing for a comedy series. Andrew Civadino, Daniel Levy, Creek.
For outstanding writer for a comedy series. Daniel Levy, Creek.
For outstanding supporting actors in a comedy series. Daniel Levy, Creek.
And it goes on. They're going to keep on giving awards to that show. In fact, nine Emmys for their sixth and final season.
They won every comedy award.
Yep.
It's like swept never them. Been done before.
Yeah. The awards were mostly delivered to locations by people in hazmat suits.
So they walk into the shot and hand up the trophy?
Yeah. In some cases, all the nominees were given a box, and the winner's box would spring open, and a hand holding the statue would pop out. Succession creator Jesse Armstrong gave what may be the first ever unthank you speech.
Really?
After winning for Outstanding Drama Series, he unthanked a bunch of people.
The Emmy for Outstanding Drama Series goes to Succession.
For being robbed of the opportunity to spend this time with our peers and with the cast and crew, I think maybe I'd like to do a couple of unthank yous. Unthank you to the virus for keeping us all apart this year. Unthank you to President Trump for his crummy and uncoordinated response. Unthank you to Boris Johnson and his government for doing the same in my country. Unthank you to all the nationalist and sort of quasi-nationalist governments in the world who are exactly the opposite of what we need right now. And unthank you to the media moguls who do so much to keep them in power. So unthank you.
Do we play the applause after that? I don't know. Push the button. Maybe nobody will notice.
I don't know.
What don't you do there?
It's no S Creek, though.
It's true.
Whatever it is.
There was a gaffe. Ron Cephas Jones' Guest Actor Award for This Is Us was announced for another nominee. The error occurred during their online Creative Arts Emmys. The precursor to the main ceremony.
Oh, so like the day version or something?
Yeah, you know, the
in a
the previous
ceremony.
Yes.
Held
exactly
off-site.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess no big deal. Whatever. It happened.
Well, they figured it out, though, right?
Exactly. Yes, they did. And I'll leave you with this. The Rock took to Instagram to share photos of his front gate, which he destroyed when it wouldn't open due to a power outage after the storms. Now, there is some debate over whether this is a publicity stunt or not. He wrote, "Not my finest hour, but a man's got to go to work. Made some calls to see how fast I could get the gate tech on site, but I didn't have 45 minutes to wait. By this time, I know I have hundreds of production crew members waiting for me to come to work so we can start our day. So I did what I had to do. I pushed, I pulled, I ripped the gate completely off myself, tore it out of the brick wall, severed the steel hydraulics and throw it on the grass." Now, there's, you know, pictures of it completely torn out.
Yeah.
You know, his gate to his
And somehow or another, this took less than 45 minutes.
Yeah, right? He said a security team later met technicians who were apparently in disbelief and equally scared by the destruction.
Yeah, he tried overriding the hydraulic system first, but this time the gate still wouldn't budge. Dwayne shared that he couldn't wait 45 minutes for a technician to arrive because hundreds of production crew members were awaiting his arrival on set. So he did what he had to do and ripped the gate straight off the brick wall with his own bare hands and threw it on the ground.
Damn. Just in one swoop, just blah. I think I'm ready to be hashtag Black Adam, he said, referencing the powerful DC character he'll be playing, Black Adam, which is the movie is due out next year. So
got it.
Publicity, well, maybe.
I think
possibly.
It's publicity.
Yeah. I mean, he mentions the
it's
movie
just,
there.
Yeah, it's just too convenient.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. The amount of brute force that it would take to do something like that, you could easily injure yourself pulling on stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, if you really are thinking that perhaps the cast and crew of your film is waiting for you, you might not want to jeopardize the product. Would be one of the things to think about.
But he's like, I got this. It doesn't matter.
I'd like to see it, though. Here's the great thing is, you know what? If there's any question about it, the guy's got video cameras everywhere.
That's the thing. Like,
why? There should be pictures.
Why is there no video? That's what Eric said to me first. He's like, there's no video of this, so I'm thinking it's not real.
Right.
It's like we would be seeing it. If he actually did that, he would have set up a camera or had somebody record him.
He's got to do it. It's the gate.
Yeah.
Be guaranteed there's video cameras on the gate.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to see it.
If you spent money for a gate, you certainly have the cameras that go with it. Yeah.
It got his bad side. He just didn't want to release that video.
Yeah.
Shot from my left side. I never take a picture. All of my pictures come from my right side.
He is that can't what it
take,
is?
Yeah. It's my better tattoo. So he shot from his bad tattoo side.
We find out it's his wife. Honey, come out here and open these pickles. Tear this gate down and open these pickles, would you? Come on.
Around here today, we do a partly sunny skies, highs in the upper 60s. Last day of summer, but it does already feel like fall. Partly cloudy tonight, 54 will be your low, and then sunny and 70 as your high tomorrow. Right now, we're at 64 degrees, and I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.